And so we're going to share the message and then have Principal Hartley come in right after. So pride. Pride will run you over like a bulldozer. Plain and simple. Because pride is a sin. And sin alienates us from God. Now, I'm not saying that all pride is bad, because there is some pride that's good. It's nice to be able to accomplish something nice and to be able to share that good news with others. For example, if you get an A on a test, you're going to tell mom and dad, right? You're not going to hold that into yourself. You're going to be able to share it. But the kind of pride that is bad is the kind of pride where you go and get an A and you go and tell your friend who got a D or an F that, hey, I got an A and you didn't. That's the kind of pride that's not good. Because you have God here, sin here. Pride is sin. Therefore, pride alienates us from having a relationship with God and with others. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself here this morning, do I really want to hear this message? The answer is yes. You do want to hear this message. Because if you're going to listen to what I'm about to say, life is going to get much better. It will. And life will be more freeing. So take some notes. Pride. An inordinate self-esteem. It's conceit. We're getting real close to the 4th of July coming up very soon, Independence Day. Now just think back to our ancestors for a moment. Do you know why our country exists? It's because of the risks that our ancestors took to oppose British rule. Taking risk is a good thing, because when you take risk, you're willing to go deeper. When you take risk, you're willing sometimes to see the big picture. I think of my Uncle Paul. My Uncle Paul passed away some years ago. But Uncle Paul left Pennsylvania at an early age to go to Cincinnati to start a new printing business. Just think about the risk that's involved in starting a new business. You're starting with nothing, but you see a vision. You see the big picture. You're thinking beyond yourself. Starting a business with nothing is kind of like church planting, right? You're starting with nothing. And even if everything is in place for those who are starting a business, maybe you have your business plan in place, maybe you have all the funding in place, maybe you have the staffing in place and everything else that goes with it, they can't bring themselves to risk the time, maybe, the reputation, or the effort in the fact that something just might fail. These people who start new businesses or start new churches or new whatever, they aren't necessarily prideful, but pride can be a common reason for it. Starting new things has a tendency to reflect all eyes on you. Pride has a tendency to make us self-conscious. When we start to think highly of ourselves, we tend to protect our very own status rather than striving for something that is so much better. Pride forces us to focus on the downside instead of the upside, no matter how significant. Let me explain. What if I failed? And then everybody would see who? Me. You see, those who are prideful, they know that they have a long way to fall. So those who are prideful always feel like they're going to fall. Have you ever confronted a prideful person on something to have them get all defensive on you and up in your business with their response? Ouch. Pride rears its ugly head. If pride is in your mind, most likely we find ourselves floating down the river of mediocrity. Because what do we want to do? We want to maintain our image. I once heard that a pride contest has no winner because nobody likes the winner. Pride is a lose-lose state of mind and being. You see, pride has the mindset that says, I'm better than you. And when pride speaks that voice that I'm better than you, others respond in a negative way. Because what happens is pride alienates. Pride pushes us apart. So pride alienates, and it's humility that unites people. In relationships, pride is that thorn in your side that continues to irritate. In your relationships with others, if you can't admit that you're wrong, it's your pride that's telling you you got to win the argument. If you take an all or nothing stance, because giving credit to anybody else, that hurts your pride. If you have a lot of pride, you might even decide that I'm not even going to communicate, which that's disastrous to relationships because less communication yields itself to isolation, and then isolation leads itself, well, you fill in the blank. You see, pride is a hindrance. It's a hindrance to good communication. It's a hindrance to desired connection with other people. And when you put yourself up on a pedestal, how is it that anybody gets close to you? Or who would want to get close to you? Remember what Alexandria read here this morning? If they call you a saint, you will not put yourself on a pedestal. Those words from Mother Teresa. And if pride lessens our ability to be vulnerable, how then is trust built? Because pride and vulnerability, they don't share. They're not good roommates. They don't get along. Pride and vulnerability are like oil and water. They just don't mix. If I show you my weaknesses, then my pride takes a back seat. Because vulnerability is showing my imperfections. And pride is an illusion of perfection, right? That we tell ourselves and we start to believe. And it's an illusion of perfection that we try to tell other people. You know, I hate this sermon because it's preaching to me. I admit, I don't like to admit that I'm wrong. I don't like to admit that I'm weak. I'm a competitor. Just ask my wife. You see, I was raised in a fishbowl. There's me. You can just put Jeff on there. I was raised in a fishbowl. My dad was a pastor, and everybody watches the preacher's kids. I always thought I was on display, but everybody was looking in the fishbowl. So the illusion of me being perfect, it stuck with me into adulthood for a very long time. Do you remember, if you were here back in 2017, when Jennifer and I co-preached a sermon on forgiveness in relationships? I had to swallow a lot of pride that week. It's hard to swallow our pride. However, whenever we opened up that day, back in 2017, I realized something very valuable. That vulnerability opens the door for healing, not only for yourself, but for everybody who's in your sphere of influence. Amazing. The number of people that came and spoke to us after that sermon was over because of our vulnerability. Because for years, I thought I was the one that had to be up on stage portraying a certain image. But that's not the case. Vulnerability opens the door for not only yourself, but for others in your sphere of influence. And pride takes the back seat. Today we're going to launch into Romans chapter 12. But before we do, I'd like for you to think about the word pride as it goes into its Hebrew and Greek origin. The Hebrew word for pride is zedon. And it's a lot worse than what you think. Because it means insolence, which really means it's a lack of respect. It is being rude. And it shows signs of arrogance. Now in the Greek, alzonia, which means empty, it means bragging. And again, it means insolent, which is a lack of respect and being rude. So a person who exhibits pride, they're arrogant, they're rude, they lack respect, and they are empty. They're empty of everything of true value. And that's what pride is. It's a sense of value that a person has for themselves. When the reality is that they're bankrupt. They're empty spiritually. And so it is in Romans. Paul is speaking to a whole society here. And this society was a group of prideful Roman citizens. Now think about it for a moment. If you go back in history, Roman culture was dominated by their pride and their confidence. And it's the same confidence and the same type of pride that allowed them to go into territories and take over the world. Because they truly became such a huge powerhouse in their dominance. The empire was huge. It was vast. It had everything. But it was built by pride. And we know by history that the Roman culture was also torn apart by its pride when the empire came crumbling down. The Roman Empire had pride. They had confidence to go into these territories. Not only to just take over the land, but to be able to impart their beliefs on the new people. And the pride in the empire, it infiltrated down into everyday ordinary people. So they were prideful people. They instituted a class system. And you had to look the part. You had to present yourself as being a certain class of people. You know, it'd be something like this. There's no way I had to look middle class. I have to look upper class. So I have to portray that the image of my 3-car garage can really fit my Tesla chariot in there. That's the kind of image they had to portray. Roman people were guilty of pride. They'd mock others, they'd put people down, and they'd puff themselves up. So Paul presses the Romans on pride quite a bit. So let's see one spot where Paul speaks on pride. If you have your Bibles with you, we'll be reading today from Romans chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 today. Paul says to the Romans, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers." So Paul's saying here, this is an urgent request that I am making to the public because it's getting bad. You guys are some arrogant people here. So Paul's making this urgent appeal. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Get this. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. Remember what I was saying earlier about the Roman society? They were being dominated by pride. And there was a lack of respect for others because the culture believed it was self-sufficient. That all these self-help books, it was helping you, only you. So Paul's saying here, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And for the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, here we go, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. In the book Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis refers to pride as the great sin. I was just told this morning, The Devil's Advocate, remember that movie too? Hal Pacino talks about pride as being the easiest sin to fall into. C.S. Lewis refers to pride as the great sin. And after mentioning that pride led to the devil's downfall, C.S. Lewis said this, "Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind." And he contends that pride is a sin that we are very much aware of and dislike when we see it in others, but most of us are blind to it ourselves. We hate seeing prideful people, but boy, do we hate acknowledging it in our own lives. And so Paul knew this, both from a personal experience. Remember, Paul, as Bill Olson says, was a jacked up dude. He had a lot of issues himself. Paul had a lot of issues. And from personal experience and from the scriptures, how deeply embedded in these Romans' hearts is the pride that wants to take credit for being their own savior. I'm the one that did everything. I accomplished this. I did that. And even if the Romans were acknowledging that God had some part in their salvation, they were still claiming credit for their own salvation. Because the Roman people were used to boasting about who they were. I loved Michael Jordan playing basketball. And if you like him, the dude could fly. Look at that picture. Like, I think he's like 12 feet off the ground or something. And he launched like 30 feet or something like that. I don't know how far, but he could dunk. And I had a big poster of him in my bedroom that I wanted at a carnival for 25 cents. I loved it. My friend was so jealous. Oh, there I am being prideful. But he was and still is my all-time favorite basketball player. There was a night, if you remember, that Jordan scored 69 points in one game. Maybe some of you do remember that night. Now, on the same evening that Jordan scored 69 points, Stacey King, who also played for the Bulls, guess how many points he scored? 1 point. All right? So after the game was over, sometime later, he was interviewed. And Stacey King said this, "I'll always remember this as the night that Michael Jordan and I combined for 70 points." Now, Stacey King was joking. But how often do we find ourselves, because of pride, taking the credit for something else? Because we don't want to be seen as mediocre. It's all about image and status and position. So how do we move away from pride and those tendencies to fall into pride towards the way that Christ desires in all of us? It's quite simple. You see it on a screen. But boy, is it hard to practice. Practice humility. James chapter 4, verse 10 says this, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do you know why we have kneelers down here? Because it's a sign of humility. It is a sign of reverence unto God. To kneel before the Lord and say, "God, I truly need you because I can't do this on my own anymore. I'm tired of being prideful." Pride is exhausting, amen? I mean, I'm tired of trying to keep up images. And I know you guys are as well. Humbling ourselves might feel like a root canal, but it's really not as bad as we think. Because what happens is humility thwarts pride. It pushes it away. And humility at its core, it's a form of self-forgetfulness as opposed to pride's self-fixation on your own self. Humility can set you free. Because when you think about yourself less, what do you begin to think of? You start to think about Jesus Christ more. And you begin to think of other people more as well. And when we start to think of Christ and others more, we then begin to free ourselves from all the internal pressures of trying to maintain our image. And it's humility that then merges itself onto the road of grace. As we see pride moving out into the path of opposition. James chapter 4, verse 6 reminds us this. That God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I want to challenge you this week, as we begin this series on the seven deadly sins in 6 weeks. So I don't know how we're going to do that, but we're going to do it. We're going to combine 1 week together. But I want you to examine your prideful tendencies. And I want you to ask yourself these questions. Am I owning up to my mistakes? And what can I do to truly stop comparing myself to other people? And in what healthy ways? Healthy ways, okay? Can I offer vulnerability? And lastly, what spiritual disciplines can I practice to rely upon Christ in my life and not so much myself anymore? Think about these questions.
Got your best man on your front side. You always show.